From Dirty Dancing to Disco, this woman has the inside scoop.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
I know, I could have my best disco moves. I don't know what they are, though. But hey, welcome on in to The Point with Kristen Burt, presented by, of course, Popcorn Talk and Dance Network. And I am so excited to have this woman in studio with me today because no one puts together a harder disco routine other than Dorian Sanchez. Welcome!
Hi, yay! Hi!
Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am going to say I mean that no one puts together a more complex disco routine than you.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, you're like, I got it. Yeah, I'll take that one. Yeah. You should. Yeah.
But it's fun, right?
It's so much fun to watch. And I sit there and think, that rehearsal studio, especially when, you know, you've got some on So You Think You Can Dance and you have a short amount of time to teach it, I bet those contestants in their head are cursing a little bit from time to time.
Maybe, but you know what? In the end, it serves them. And we would never do anything that doesn't serve them in their, you know, their best. We always want them to shine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we love to watch it. We're always like, we love a disco number.
Yay, thank you.
Yes, but we have so much to talk about today. And I think what's so interesting is that we are coming upon I Dance for a Cure. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that and why, you know, it's so important to you. But we always like to, like, take it back a little bit first, because I think for people to know where people came from, where people started, especially in this dance industry, because there is no one blueprint that says this is how you do it and this is how you have a dance career.
Right.
It works differently for every individual, and I think that's what's so fascinating. And you yourself came from a dance family, is that correct?
Yes. My dad was a ballroom dancer. And the funny thing, so yes, I did. And my father was a ballroom dancer. The funny story about how he got into it, he was stationed at Presidio in San Francisco, and he and his buddy wanted to go find girls. So they went, they had a thing at Arthur Murray Studio, you know, that the girls would be teaching the guys. And so he went, and then the lady thought he was so good that she wanted to teach him how to teach, how to be an instructor. So my father became an instructor. And he really loved it. And then he went on to have a career as a dancer doing exhibition ballroom with his sister and with different dance partners in the Bay Area.
That is fantastic. It actually sounds a lot like my husband's family. I've got to tell you that. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. They have a tango company. And yeah, I know. We'll have to talk about that after, because this has nothing to do with my husband's family. We're talking about you. But did they have you in dance lessons? Like, were you taking ballroom at a young age, or was it kind of a gradual thing?
It was a gradual thing. I mean, I started, my dad was in community theater, always involved. He's still directing and choreographing at 89 years old.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes, and I come from a very, very small town. When I was growing up, it had 3,000 people, so dance wasn't there. It wasn't there, but it was in my dad's heart, you know, and so he would take us to the nearest town, Fresno, which had the
big town.
The big town of Fresno that had all the big theaters and arenas there. So as a child, I saw Ringling Brothers Circus when it was still Three Rings.
Oh, and it doesn't even exist anymore.
No, I know. It's horrible. I mean, it's great for the animals, but the artists, that's their livelihood, you know, and there's generations of artists. And so we got to see that. That was a huge influence. Ice Capades was a huge influence.
Dorothy Hamill.
Oh, my gosh.
Who was everything.
Ice Capades. And they flew. Also, they had aerials, so, you know, flying over the ice was amazing. And then Jose Greco had his company. So he would take us every year to see Jose Greco's flamenco company and Ballet Folklórico de México.
Ooh.
So we got to see so much that my parents made sure that we got to see, being in a little small cow town, you know.
It's the Cow Palace up there.
In San Francisco.
So they do call it the Cow Palace.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. So, but I was raised in Atascadero, and so I started my dance training, you know, with my dad, basically, and being involved in community theater and in school and all that. And then we had a wonderful teacher. I had a fantastic teacher, Miss Pat Jackson, from American Dance in San Luis Obispo. So I'd go over the hill to Miss Pat's, and she trained amazing dancers, and we all came out of there working from this little tiny town.
That's amazing.
Randy Allaire, you know, was with Michael Jackson. Randy and I moved here together. He was 15. I was 18. His parents signed a note for me to be his legal guardian.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had gotten a scholarship at Roland Dupre's, so that's how we moved here. So we were really young. Green as grass kids coming here. Now Randy owns Edge. You know, I've had a really blessed career. Michael Higgins, who's a fantastic dancer, still working, photographer now. Mm-hmm. He was one of Miss Pat's. Pam Rossi was one of Miss Pat's. That's her daughter, was solid gold dancer, has Dance 10 in Moore Park, still continuing. Tony Fields trained there sometimes. Chelsea Fields trained there. Yeah. Chelsea, you know, who was a solid gold dancer. They were both solid gold. And Bill Bowles, who ran DDO and Hollywood Connection and is president of the Movement Agency.
Unbelievable.
I know. So we were trained so well. And she also, you know, there were generations of other kids after us. And so Miss Pat was a huge inspiration to me. And, you know, she danced until 6 weeks before she passed. She carried the Olympic torch when it came through our little town.
That in 1984, 83,
yeah,
84.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. And so, you know, small towns have really wonderful things there. And if you're a kid coming from a small town, know that you can have a career in anything you want, you know, if your dream is big enough and your drive is hard enough, you know, you stick with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have to have the ambition and the drive. And, you know, that's the one thing now I think a lot of people feel like they have to move here and they have to train at Millennium or Edge. And, you know, they're all wonderful facilities, but there's lots of great studios throughout the country.
Yes. They're fantastic studios. I love going and I teach master classes around the places. And you know, you find incredible talent. There's one boy up north that I've worked with, and he's like another Lex. And he's 14, and I just freak out every time I see him, you know?
They can do anything.
They can do anything, and it's stunning what the kids are up to these days.
Yeah, and their social media game is good and strong. And you know what's interesting, though? A lot of the people that have walked through this studio, I'm finding that a lot of them started dance a little bit later, the 12, 13, 14, for the men, 18, 20, 24. And it's interesting to me because I started young. I started around 3, 4, somewhere around there. And I got burnt out in my mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm starting to wonder if the key to having that longevity as a performing career may be to not really start hardcore until you're a little bit older.
I'm not sure, because I think what I'm witnessing, honestly, is what they do now is the stuff of dreams, really. What kids can do now... I just worked with little Eliana Walmsley couple weeks ago, you know, for the World Choreography Awards. And she's one of those spectacular young talents, you know. They're bendy. They can do anything with their little bodies. It's amazing. And I have a few children like that that I work with. And it's like the next evolution of humanity, you know, like the evolution of human beings I see is happening in their bodies. And they're doing things that we never could do because – we just didn't know how, for one thing. But I don't know if our bodies would have been ready to do what they're doing. So I just see it all the time, and it's amazing to me. I do think there's an evolution of dance, of course, and but in their physical being, you know?
It's interesting. It'll be interesting to watch, because especially this current generation, I mean, they know who all these choreographers are thanks to all the dance shows. They know who to train with. They go to these conventions. They're very savvy. And so, I mean, we saw it on So You Think You Can Dance season 13. Like, these kids were ready. I was, like, worried that, you know, parents were going to be really green. There was, like, one or two green parents, but they picked it up quick. And, you know, the kids were on it. And it was they were more professional than, like, some of the other contestants who are 18 and over.
Yeah. They're beautiful. The children are really beautiful. You know, they're spectacular.
Yeah. We had a fun summer with them. So. What do you think really sort of – was it your dad dancing that really inspired you to have that career? Was it, you know, training at your local studio? What was that one thing that made you go get up and dance every day?
Well, I used to watch Midnight Special. I used to watch Solid Gold. I used to watch at our house, we only had, like, old movies, like Fred and Ginger movies and Gene Kelly movies. You know, that was the Sunday thing that would play on the TV then. And so I grew up looking at all those movies, Busby Berkeley.
Yes.
Like, you know, things that you just dream about. And so I always knew I was going to be a dancer. And on our little town, they'd look at me cross-eyed, like, what are you talking about? I go, I'm going to be a dancer. And I think they thought I was going to be a stripper, you know, or like at that time, maybe that's
dancer
what it meant.
Dancer for money.
Yes, honey. So I don't know, but I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. And it was a solid, it was a singular focus. And we were always around it, you know. And my dad, at that time when I was growing up, always said, you know, I really want to teach you this variation. And, you know, he had all the rhythms and the variations and this and this and this of every kind of dance you could imagine. I go, well, Dad, I really want to dance jazz because I want to go fast. And then I want to do ballet because I want to be Markova. And then I want to, you know.
Right.
And so my connection to ballroom and partnering like that wasn't until much later when I did a project called Salsa Ballet, and it was with a salsa orchestra. So I combined my ballet training with salsa, and my dad came in and danced us all into the ground. We couldn't even, like, my dad was amazing. And so he really probably is the biggest influence on my life, you know, as far as dance. And then, of course, Miss Pat, you know, one of the great teachers. And then when Randy and I moved to L.A., we were at Dupre, so we had all these fantastic teachers, you know, that we were able to work with.
And we were talking about Solid Gold earlier off the air. And for people that are way too young to know what Solid Gold is, go to YouTube, look for some clips. There's tons of them out there. This show was on, I'm going to say, Saturday night at like 7 p.m. or something like that. And it was musical guests, and it was comedy, and it was dance. But these Solid Gold dancers were kind of everything in the dance industry at the time. Leotards cut up to the armpits. It was amazing. Darcelle was the lead dancer. You said you had auditioned a few times.
Yeah. Because
was like the job to have,
I
imagine.
It was the job to have. And I wanted it really bad. And I auditioned for it, and I didn't get it. And I would get to the end, and I'd be like, ugh. You know, and I didn't understand why, you know, but I think I was just too young at the time.
Yes.
You know, I was just too young. And
dancers were really, really sexy, too. Yeah.
They were really, it was the first time that dancers could be that sexy on television, you know.
Yeah.
But they were awesome.
They were amazing.
They were awesome.
They were really amazing.
Yeah.
And it was also when the MTV generation had sort of ushered in. So music, video, dance, like it was having a moment when all of that sort of came together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really incredible. And Anita Mann, obviously, we saw her at the World Choreography Awards.
Yes.
She is the queen behind Solid Gold. So I've got to get her on the show at some point.
Yeah, you do. She's awesome. And she's one of the big supporters of our I Dance for a Cure event. And I'm so grateful to her, as I am to Dance Network.
She's also sponsoring the event.
Yes, sponsoring the event. So we're so excited because and World Choreography Awards is one of our sponsors.
Great.
And Edge Pack Edge is one of our sponsors. You know, we're very blessed. Kind Bars, those yummy ones that you eat.
I love that. Everyone's sort of like all coming together, people you've worked with in the community for decades.
GTA, my agents, my beautiful agents, Lisa and Terry.
We love them. Yeah. They're good friends of
To The Point.
Super
love them. Yeah. Yes.
We definitely love them. What do you think for you when you were here in LA, what was that very first job for you where you were like, all right, I think my dance career is like going, you know, that one that just kind of opened so many doors?
Well, I must say, my first dance job, I moved here because I got a job that was going to go to Japan, and it was in a girly kind of show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved here, and then when I got the costumes, I remember that my costume was like in a plastic bag, like one of them. First of all, the choreographer, she plucked out all our eyebrows, like, because she wanted them. We were like little showgirls, right? She plucked them out. They never grew back, so I have to paint them in all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. And then the costumes, like, we went to her house, and the costumes were all laid out on a table, and they were, like, in these bags, and it was, like, bras and G-strings. Well, I had never seen a G-string at that time.
Yeah.
I was 18. I'd never seen that before. And I just went like this. I remember going like that, like,
how do I put that on?
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, what's this? And she goes, that's the bottoms. I was like, and then I started crying. I go, my dad can never see me wear this.
Right.
You know, like, really.
Because
like,
you're 18 and here
you
are.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, from Atascadero. Like,
yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, Showgirl, and it's evolved so much in Vegas, too. But
yeah.
Showgirl, a lot of it was topless and then, like, the G-strings and the big headdresses.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, how many shows now are topless? One? Does it still exist? Maybe two?
I think so. I think one.
And they do, like, the family show oftentimes. And then they do the
7 o'clock and then later.
The adult show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because that's almost kind of like a relic of the past.
Yeah. And when I worked in Vegas, I was a star of a show, but we didn't go topless. It was a breakdance show and a hip.
Yeah, that would have not made much sense.
But I had to do the flash dance thing where she took off her bra. I had to take off my bra and her thing.
Every dancer can do that. I still do that to this day. On my couch, I'm like, first thing comes off when you get home.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah.
And it was on stage again. I was like, my dad can't see me do this. But, you know, it was a different kind of show. It was a good show.
Yeah. And so. I think a lot of people, like, kind of forget that. We're like, I had a friend that danced in a Vegas revue now probably 15 years ago. And she was like, it was the one at Bally's.
Oh,
what was it? For a long time.
Not Jubilee.
Jubilee. Was, yeah. It was Jubilee. Yeah. Jubilee had I believe, like a family show and then the adult show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think it's all good. I mean, it is all good. And the girls are always beautiful. And they're beautiful.
Tall, leggy.
Gorgeous lines. Yeah. But, you know, I think showgirls are amazing. I always really wanted to be like a real one. Like I was like a petite one, you know, but right. I learned how to walk in a G-string and a bra, you know, the way you bevel, the way you hold your arms, the way you hold your hair and wearing headdresses that are not balanced, huge, that hurt your neck. And one show I was in, I had one that had really long, what is it called? Mylar strips. Mm-hmm. And we were doing head rolls, head roll, head roll, head roll. And one went down my throat during the thing. And I was like, like I almost died on stage. Like seriously, I was like, like
death
pulling it out.
Mylar.
Yes.
That's scary.
Yes. And it was head rolls. You know? So yeah, the costumes are always kind of tricky, you know, those kind of shows. But, yeah,
they are.
But they're fabulous.
Well, they are because, you know, they are fabulous because I sit there and I will watch rehearsal video even for Radio City Rockettes.
Yeah.
And that everyone has to hit their mark. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched this, but it's literally like 1, 6, 4. Like,
oh, yeah.
You have to know those numbers. If you don't hit those numbers, the whole line is out of whack.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you will be yelled at in rehearsal. I mean, they're very strict about it.
Really strict.
They're very strict. And you watch this, and it's incredible. And these women come back year after year after year. And they, you know, some of them have been Rockettes for like 25 years. And they do every single show from when the Christmas show opens till the day it closes in January.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is cool.
It's really fascinating.
Dancers are awesome.
They are.
Dancers are awesome.
What you're able to make not only your body do, but like your mind. I think that's the thing. And we've talked a little bit about this. Like the fact that we dance through a lot of pain.
Yes, we do. Yes, we
do. For good and bad.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
And so sometimes we have to watch that as dancers.
Yeah.
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 Well, I was, you know, this is one of those things because you're part of one of those big pop culture moments called Dirty Dancing. Mm-hmm. And I have to imagine that when you did this film, none of you thought that this was going to be as epic. And decades later, we're still here talking about, you know, the dancing, the movie, the characters, the romance, all of that. It's all still relevant. In 2017.
Isn't it great? It was the 30th anniversary of the film. And so Kenny and I, of course, were on the phone. I was like, happy anniversary. You know, happy anniversary, 30 honey.
Years.
30 years and we're only 25.
Exactly.
You know, like how does that happen? But it was amazing to be on that film. That film opened so many doors for so many of us. It really did. You know, Kenny, I think I had worked on some videos with Kenny before that, like Gloria Estefan. There were some videos and different things that we did and award shows. And then Dirty Dancing happened. And so we workshopped at Debbie Reynolds, auditioned at Debbie Reynolds. We spent so much time there, you guys.
And you guys, it got saved. Did you hear that yesterday?
No.
Oh, there's new owners. It got saved.
Oh,
breaking news. Dun,
wow.
Dun, dun. Yeah, and they have a whole administrative team, owners, new vision, and they're calling it Debbie Reynolds Legacy Studio.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So we've
That's beautiful.
Isn't that great?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Because this has been really kind of a sad couple, 5, 6 weeks over this whole thing. So
we were there. We rehearsed lots of films there, actually. We did.
Well, we talked about with Vincent, Thriller, obviously, Blonde Ambition Tour.
We did Fast Forward there, too.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
That's
great. We rehearsed there for a while. We did so many things. Like, that was the place to go. You know, that was the studio there, you know, that was rehearsal time there.
It's amazing, the history there. I had Marge.
Margie
is so cute. Yeah. And she looks just like Debbie Reynolds, even though I was her best friend. And she took me around, and she was a little mad at the sale and stuff like that. She's like, I'm just going to take you to the back room. And then she's like, this is Debbie's costume for Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
She was taking me through all these old costumes.
All
she's
the
like,
museum
this
stuff.
Is Carrie's wedding dress to Paul Simon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I got all of it. I was like, what's happening? It was amazing.
That's amazing.
So let's get back on track, because when you're rehearsing this, I mean, are you thinking like this is going to be a fun little summer movie and we'll see
what
happens?
We didn't really know. We just knew that we had to go on the road, and we were going to go to North Carolina. We were going to go to Lake Lure and to Roanoke, Virginia. You know, mm-hmm. we had two locations. And so we workshop a lot, and it was really sexy. You know, it was sexy time. Like, we would be grinding on each other all day long trying to find the stuff, you know. But, I mean, right. we did a lot of workshop. And so it was really fun. And and Emil Ardolino, who was the director, he at that time was very famous for doing Dance in America, all those Dance in America series that, mm-hmm. that would, you know, he would film the ballets and film all the beautiful dance companies.
For and PBS.
So, and... Yes, for PBS. So he had an eye for dance that was magnificent. And so he and Kenny together were so great.
Magic.
Magic. And the best part of it, besides, you know, being on a film and being with your friends and, you know, what was our late night activities that we had, our dirty dancing parties after our whole day of shooting.
The stories you can't tell.
The stories I can't tell. Kenny and I talked about that too.
Who yeah. hooked up with who?
Yes, yes, yes.
did the stars join you at all? Like, did Patrick ever join you? Or was it mostly like the dancers kind of hung out?
It was
together?
The dancers and Kenny. And sometimes Patrick would come. And I remember Jennifer and I, we took a boat. We like ran away one day and we took a boat out into the lake. And we were
Jennifer
just being
Gray.
Yeah.
She's a good dancer.
Yeah.
She's a good
she's
dancer.
She's an awesome person.
Yeah.
Haven't seen her in a million years, but she's awesome.
I saw her. This is a funny story. I saw her at Anna Trebinskaya's baby shower for baby number one. And this is crazy. So Anna had, like, everyone bring in their baby picture, and then we all had to guess who it was. And Jennifer had brought her picture. And I was like, I know who this is. I can't remember who it is. Like, did I work with them? Like, I just couldn't place Jennifer for the life of me because I'm at a baby shower. And so I look at the photo and I'm like, well, that's Joel Gray. And then I'm like,
Oh, yes.
I'd interviewed her dad of only a few years before. Yeah. And I was like, of course Anna has Jennifer here. Come on. Yeah. They did Dancing with the Stars together.
Yes,
of course,
yes. That's so nice.
That's incredible. So I have to say, because I was away at summer camp. I was at musical theater camp when Dirty Dancing came out. And my mom, after I came home for the summer. And by the way, my musical theater camp was Stage Door Manor. And it was in the Catskills.
Yes,
you know Stage Door Manor.
Yes, yes.
Yes. It is like this cult camp, in a good way, where every dorky little kid goes to study musical theater and dance, and it was the best summers of my life. And my mom was like, you have to – I had a couple weeks before school started. She's like, you have to see this movie. And I was like, I don't want to see Dirty Dancing, Mom.
Sounds nasty.
Nah, it just sounds dumb, you know, my mom. And she took me on like a rainy day because we lived up in Maine during the summer. And it was not a beach day, and she was like, let's just go. And it was like the greatest – movie, and we played that cassette the entire fall. Cassette, yes, the entire fall.
Yeah,
over and over and over. Yeah. But it was amazing. It really resonated with so many people.
Yeah. You know, because it's a love story, and it's a story about like that you can dance. Actually, you know, if you go back to the dancing part of it, that a girl that thinks she can't dance really can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean. So that's that she goes through all this stuff. And she really does in the end.
And
she
believes
gets
in
the
herself.
Guy. She gets the guy. She gets the hot guy.
She gets the really hot
she
guy.
She gets the hottest guy. She gets lifted in the air. Every girl's dream. She gets dipped around. Every girl's other dream. Swirled around.
I mean, yeah, it really is quite a movie and quite a cast and everything. Just all of those.
Kelly Bishop.
Gilmore Girls, people. Gilmore Girls, Grandma
Incredible
Gilmore,
dancer.
And also a Tony Award winner for the original cast of A Chorus Line.
Yes,
so
yes,
and she was under Carol Bishop at the time, I think, on A Chorus Line. She changed her name somewhere along the way to Kelly. But what a performer!
Yeah, amazing.
I know.
Yeah, so that movie that opened a lot of doors for me. I actually Kenny was busy probably with Michael Jackson at the time. And so the Dirty Dancing tour came up and he's like, will you do this? I was like, sure. So I directed that tour with all the original Dirty Dancers and some extra ones. And they went on like 140 cities, toured all around, sold out everywhere, sold out 2 weeks at Radio City. And so that was amazing.
When you think about the work this created for the dancers too, 140 cities is...
Yeah, it was a summer and a half or a long, long time of touring, like months and months and months and months of touring, which is awesome. We all love to do that. And but it had Bill Medley and Ronnie Spector in it and the Contours and Mary Clayton. So all the music that you heard...
on my cassette tape.
On the cassette tape, on the soundtrack, was live. And it was so fun. And to be at Radio City for 2 weeks sold out was amazing. So that was fun. And then I get a call from Kenny one day and he goes, Cher wants you to go over it and give her dance lessons. I was like, what?
Okay. So okay. How do you sit there when they're like, by the way, Cher wants you to go over and give her dance lessons. I would be a little intimidated in that first meeting. Would you?
Well, you know what? She lived in Benedict Canyon at the time in that house. And so, I was like, okay, because she had seen me in the film, and we were getting ready to do a video with her. Like, Kenny was getting ready to, he had been working with her for a couple years at that point. And so I get in my little Honda Civic, like it was tiny, like the little tiny ones, and then I'm driving, drive to the big gate. I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to Cher's house. God, you know? And then I get there, and then she's Cher. She's like the most awesome person ever.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. So we sit down. She had a dance studio at that house, and so we sat down in the studio, and I said, you know, my favorite scene in Mask is when you're ripping up the papers and you're just going, you know, she goes, really? I go, yeah. And she goes, oh, you know. So we just started talking about films and different things, and you know, that was the beginning of our relationship, of a 30-year relationship, you know, that has been magnificent. Sold hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in concert revenue
at Las Vegas, the Coliseum.
At the Coliseum for 3 years.
That was an Emmy nomination for you too. Did you tape that one?
We taped that one at where do we do the MGM Grand? I think is where we shot that, the HBO show. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, we did all these magnificent shows over all the years and fabulous countries and places that people have never gone. We opened in a stadium in Dagestan, the most dangerous place in the world.
Where is Dagestan?
It's in Russia, but it's like in Russia where terror, like bad people come from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had snipers like all the way up. Yeah. Oh, it was a whole thing. Like, that's a whole nother story.
That's major.
But I mean, we've had adventures. And what I must say about her is, you know, besides being like a sister to me and a dear friend that I love so much, my heart is always for her, you know. You know, she's somebody that goes where no people go and does things that other people don't do in service to others.
And she's a badass too.
Yeah, she kicks ass.
I like that though, but it makes you stand up and pay attention when she speaks. Yeah. She's definitely one of those. Even when like a tweet goes by sometimes, I'm like, what does Cher have to say?
Yeah, her tweets are
Epic.
They're
legendary.
They are legendary.
I think Cher and Chrissy Teigen have probably the wittiest Twitter accounts out there. And I don't really follow celebrities unless I somehow have interacted with them a lot. And otherwise, I'm like, but there are certain people like Chrissy Teigen and Cher. Yeah. I'm like,
hilarious.
Yes.
Hilarious. So, you know, I go to her house and we're just stretching out. And that started our whole thing, you know. And so over the course of time, I became the director and the choreographer of all of her tours and all of her performances for many, 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 many years.
How does that work, though? I want to ask this because it's got to be a little delicate. You're working with Kenny and then kind of shares like, okay, I really want Doriana to take over. Is it an awkward shift or is it like it happens, you get a job, Kenny gets a job?
Well, you know what? At that time, Kenny was really busy and his career was starting to take off, too. So he was actually setting the groundwork for High School Musical. I forget what the Disney thing was, but he was doing a thing, so he wasn't available all the time. So that's why I was taking on more and more of more of the responsibility. And so he was actually doing, it was a Disney, I forget what it was called, Hull Street High? Is that what it was called? I don't remember what it was. It was something like that, which eventually turned into High School Musical. Mm-hmm. So he was laying the groundwork at that time, not knowing, you know, that that's what it was. So, you know, Kenny and I have talked about it a lot, and, you know, he's so supportive of everything, and he really, I didn't even get to tell you how he found me or how we got together, but I was dancing at a club called Peanuts, which was
a very
popular gay club on Santa Monica Boulevard back in the day. And so fun. And we would do, I was in two shows there. One was all girls. And then one, I was the only girl in a drag show called The Cosmetics.
Oh, I love that.
And it was so great. So, you know, starting at 11 or 12, you know, here I am with all the guys and the gals, you know. And so it was cool because people used to come there, like Bowie would come there and all the rockers would come there. Mm-hmm. And Kenny was somebody one of those guys, you know, and he came and he saw me dance in one of those shows. And he came up to me after and he said, you know, I really want to work with you one day. And I was like, oh, that'd be awesome, you know. And
wondering if it would happen or
not. Because you don't know. You're just, I'm in a bra and G-string, you know, like standing there like half naked. Oh, okay, great.
That sounds good.
Yeah. But he kept to his word. And I forget which audition I got, but you know, the blessing of Kenny and what I learned from Kenny sees who you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Kenny sees the energy. I'm going to say it to the camera. Kenny sees who you are, and I'm so grateful to Kenny for seeing who I am, you know?
Yeah.
And he saw me because at that time, they were really hiring a lot of Caucasian girls and blue-eyed girls and big boob girls, and I was none of that. I was like 98 pounds, just like
straight.
Just could go up here, yeah. Straight, you know, and Latina, which wasn't being hired at the time. So Kenny really was at the forefront, I think, of he saw how people should be, you know, how we really are as humans, and we should all. He embraced, I don't even know, because it's not even now. So, but I mean, he was the one that saw others of color and put us all together, you know? And so he was, I feel like, one of the way showers for that.
Yeah. Definitely a pioneer in saying, you know, we need diverse casts.
Diversity. Yes. And he embraced it and he saw who I was. He saw who so many people are, you know, and he taught me how to look at a room of 200 people and go, you see the sparkle, you see the sparks.
Yeah.
You know, you can see who's the one.
The aura.
There is an aura around people and you see it and you want to work with them.
Yeah. Sometimes you have an it factor and you can't take your eyes off of them. And I've always said that. Michelle Williams, the actress, is so petite and tiny, and she walks down that red carpet at the Oscars, and every reporter just stops. And it doesn't matter if a bunch of other A-list actors are coming by. She's like a little Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
She's got all this, like, fairy dust around her.
Yeah.
And you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kenny, you know, saw ours. You know?
I love that, though.
Yeah, he really does. And he sees it still all the time with people, with new kids and, you know, different talent that comes through his path, you know? And so that's what he taught me. And also, you know, sometimes people may not be the best dancer, but if you see their heart and you see how hard they're trying and you know that they're a great person, that's who you want to work with.
Yeah.
I mostly want to work with the best dancers and the most spectacular ones, but I have in the past hired people because I like them a lot and I super love them. And I see that they're going to work hard, you know?
And that says a lot in a rehearsal studio, because we've all had those dancers. And I've said this before, I hear stories when some of the So You Think contestants are lazy in the studio. I've heard that before. It makes it back to me. I know you choreographers are talking about it. So it's important, you know, what happens in the dance studio, what happens on stage, they have to kind of be the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And if you're going to go on the road with people, you need them to be the nicest people. You're going to be on a tour bus. You're going to be traveling together for at least a year.
Tired, sick, not eating your best,
your best. And you have to be a person that carries yourself with integrity. Being kind is very important. Being on time is very important, you know. But being a nice person, I think, wins hands down, you know.
It does matter. It matters in, I think, all aspects of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just recently touched upon something when it comes to diversity. I'm wondering, because you're Latina, I wonder, are you seeing more open doors for Latina dancers?
Oh, yeah. I think things have changed now. But I know Kenny was at the forefront of that. Michael Peters was, too. I got the blessing of working with Michael Peters a few times. Wow. Wow, he was tough. He was tough.
Michael Peters, and if you guys don't know Michael Peters,
Thriller
and Beat It.
Know
go
your
watch
dance
him.
History.
Yeah.
Dance history.
And, you know, that kind of ties into what we were talking about before the show started, too, and talking about Kristen McQuaid's interview. We did lose an entire generation.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand how big of an impact it actually was on the entire industry.
Yes.
And you were saying that you had done a tribute show, and how many people were in there?
50.
50. And probably all AIDS-related.
All AIDS related, all my friends, like, you know, I think generations now don't understand what that epidemic was, you know, and still is. I mean, people still are passing from it, you know?
Yes.
And so, I did an event one time and I did the tribute, the Missing You tribute, and I had to write, it had to scroll. It scrolled, the name scrolled up, and there were so many, and it was all of our friends, you know, entire casts of people were taken. And so I think it's important that we're mindful and not forget them, you know, because people, they are so talented and brilliant, and imagine just a chunk away. So we never know what they would have brought to the world in their artistry, you know, so we miss that.
We miss that. And for my generation of dancers, we didn't have that, those people really leading the way, that guidance in terms of, especially I was on the East Coast, like Broadway community was just wiped out. And, you know, you lose like the Michael Bennett's and things, yes. And everyone's like, and half the cast of A Chorus Line and yeah. things like that. And you yeah. go, what do we do? Where yeah. are we going? And it, dance sort of did this for a long time, and so until everyone kind of started to refocus again.
Yeah.
And people were able to lead again.
Yes. Yes.
But I mean, and I think it was Vincent too that said, you know, he's like, I was going to like a funeral a week.
It's true. It's true. And the sad thing about it, and I urge you guys, don't be afraid to speak your truth, whatever your truth is. People were afraid to say that they had it. And we were on the road with several people that had it, you know, at the time, and they were afraid to tell us because they thought they'd be fired. And we would never have fired anybody for that, you know. But I think people are afraid to share their truth about whatever mm-hmm. they're going, whether it's depression or any kind of illness or, you know, and there should not be fear or shame about things.
Or I think we're seeing it in Hollywood too with the sexual harassment and assault things. Women for decades have been afraid to talk. Yeah. Oh yeah, me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And names, like familiar yeah. names that people know, and yeah. it's a tough one. You know, in talking about health, I mean, you went through a major health challenge in your life, and I've got to imagine one day you're like, "This is my career, and I'm doing this," and then all of a sudden life is like, "Oh wait. We're going to take a left," when you thought we were taking a right.
Yes. Yeah.
How did that all come about when you've discovered?
Well, I in 2011, we were still at Caesars, mm-hmm. and I fell on a set piece. There was a big set piece that was called the Magic Closet, and Cher went in. And she
did. She change?
Yeah, she did.
Like amazing outfits.
Three times. Yeah, I love in the that. Magic Closet, and she would come out. You know, within a minute. Her changes are always within a minute, and so I was always helping, you know, do the quick changes and getting her on and off and stuff. So you have to jump in from the back because it's like an illusion. So it wheels out. I jump in the back and I fall and I hit my hip on, like, it'd be like falling on this and hitting your hip on it. So I was like, wow, that's so weird. I don't fall, you know. And then I noticed that my left foot was starting to get like numb and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then my back was really hurting. And so it got worse and worse and worse and worse. I was seeing people there. I was having physical therapy for my back. And then it got worse and worse and worse and worse until I was pretty much paralyzed. And I was going to neuro people in Vegas. And they said, oh, no, you're sticking me with needles in my leg. No, you're fine. I'm like, but I can't walk. You know, I'm not.
So are you sitting there thinking, oh, maybe it's a, you know, pinched nerve, like going through all of those, right?
I thought it was a thing in my back. I thought it was a thing in my leg. And she'd go like, what's going on? I go, oh, I'm fine. And I kept going, I'm fine. I'm okay. I could no longer walk my dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
In the hotel. I pretty much was bedridden all day until we had to go to the show. And nobody knew that. You know, I was just like,
Hiding it
because I was going, I'm okay. I really wasn't. I guess, you know, I was doing Captain Hook, like walking on one thing and scooshing my leg, like kind of like trying to get it. And
as a dancer, that has to be.
But as a dancer, you would never connect it to a brain tumor.
Right.
And so I, what happened was I had two seizures, big major seizures, you know, and then I was like, okay. And I didn't know they were seizures. At first, I thought I just put too much muscle stim on because I had one of those little muscle stim things I was doing. Mm-hmm. But the first one, it felt like my back melted. And I thought my back was melting. I thought I had melted the heating pad on my back.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was not good. And then I tried to stand up, and I couldn't. I fell on the floor, you know, and I couldn't get up. And thank God my niece was living with me at the time. And, you know, I just laid on the floor and not being able to push or roll because this whole left side was gone. Then when we went back to Vegas, we were on a little break. We went back to Vegas and I had to be put in a wheelchair and pushed, still going, I'm okay, you guys, I'm really okay. No.
You're like, I'm not okay at all.
No. And so I guess I played that game in my head. I'm okay. And finally,
denial is a great thing in humans. Oh, we are good at it.
We're really good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
it's not necessary, but you know, we're too like, I'm okay.
Yeah, we're so good at it.
Dancers are really good at it.
Gosh.
We're so good at it. But this is the thing. This is what saved my life too. So so we go, we do the thing. Cher finally says, you know, I'm taking you to my spine specialist. You need to see him. Could not even walk up the flight, you know, into the private plane to go home. Couldn't even get there. Just was like, bzz,
bzz, bzz. Oh no.
So then we go. I'm at her house. Her assistant Deb takes me in the car. We go. We see him. I cannot get on the table. He said, can you walk a straight line? Like, walk, walk, walk. I could not. And he says, I'm taking you next door to get an MRI. That's the first time anyone had said that in months. Because by this point, I was just toast.
You know, and MRIs, they're very expensive. And a lot of times, just doctors wait. Because unfortunately, our healthcare system,
yes,
they oftentimes like deny, or they'll pay very little of it. And we have to pay for it out of pocket.
They're like $6,000.
Exactly. Yeah. Just to give an idea of like why she wasn't pushed into an MRI. But it was something that you probably needed months before.
Yes, because I was so bad, Kristen, you know, and I was still in denial. I mean, Kevin, my assistant, I would laugh. I'd go, yeah, driving Miss Dory. I had to lay flat in the back of my car, and he would drive me and then pull me up. You know, it was crazy.
That's awful.
And everybody else, I guess, was looking at me like, what the heck is going on with her? And I was like, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And people were like, okay.
Yeah.
You don't look like, okay, no. But
so I go to the doctor. He takes me to the MRI. I get the MRI, and Deb and I are waiting there in the waiting room. He comes through the door with a nurse with a box of Kleenex behind her, like carrying a box of tissue. And I go, well, Deb, this is going to be fantastic. This is something. And so he said, and he was panicked. He was kind of like going like this.
You know, just from that.
And I was like, And so he said, well, we got to find the right office. So he takes me into the office and he puts it up on the screen. And, you know, there's my brainy with a giant thing, like a big, like this big, like a pancake on my head, and this big down, you know, a tumor in my brain. And he goes, well, I'm not a brain specialist. I'm not a neurosurgeon. This could be brain cancer. It could be a brain virus, or it could be something else. I go, well, okay. Thank you for telling me, because now I know what's going on with me. I'm really grateful for that. You know, then I had an answer to what was going on. I said, if it's vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry, I choose chocolate. And he started laughing. I was like, okay, thank you. So then we get back in the car. We go to Cher's house. You know, Deb had already told her. And so we order Nobu as we're going to eat food.
And Nobu is super delicious. Fancy, delicious sushi here.
Just delicious.
Vegas, LA, New York, I think you can get it.
Yeah, delicious food. So we're sitting down eating. And so I'm telling her the thing. And I go, so, you know, vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry? She goes, chocolate. I go, I know, right? So we were like, okay. So then go back to the guest room where I'm staying at her house. And then I feel a seizure coming on. So now I know what they feel like. And then I go to her other assistant, Jen, call 911. They came. I was having a thing. But, you know, they didn't even know how I stayed conscious. But I connected to source. You know, I'm like, God, you know, calling all angels, calling all everybody.
Some help here.
Yeah. Don't let me fall on the stone floor, because that would be disaster.
Oh, no.
So they come. And then they take me. And the guys were fantastic. They rerouted me to UCLA. And so Cher's following behind in the car. You know, they're all, it was a whole thing. The funny thing is, I went to an emergency. They let me in. She has to park her car. She comes in. They wouldn't let her in.
You're like, into it's emergency. Cher.
Well, she was telling them, I'm Cher. Somebody said, are you Bette Midler? She was like, no, I'm Cher.
Wait, Cher's like really tall and Bette Midler's rather small.
Well,
like,
Cher's actually not that tall.
She just wears big.
She wears big hair and big shoes, so she looks tall, but she's kind of tiny.
Is she?
Yeah.
Like 5'5"?
No, 5'7".
Okay. Yeah. I was I'm five three, so five is tiny. Yeah, yeah. Short.
But they wouldn't let her in, and finally she got in, and I was in emergency, and we were like, oh my gosh, who's on first? We were just doing this whole thing. You know, it was, and so, you know, we were laughing in because we're just that way. You know, like I was like, gosh, we need to redecorate this. This needs some sparkles. It needs some bedazzling in here, you know. So she was awesome. We were there. They took me to other things, you know. So I landed there at UCLA.
And that's where your entire course of treatment wound up, right?
And by the grace of God, you know, Dr. Neil Martin became my surgeon, and he was head of neurosurgery at that time. So he's like, I got the king of the mountain be my doctor. And I had surgery 2 days later. was in ICU for a couple days, but my surgery was almost 19 hours.
How big was that tumor?
Giant. Like probably.
Did they weigh it or anything? Like,
well,
after?
They took pieces of it to be in their
the biopsy and
yeah, and to be in their tumor lab.
Your brain, part of your brain is in the tumor lab.
Yeah, like for research, which is awesome.
That's so cool because it's going to help so many others.
How
long is recovering from brain surgery? I guess that's a good question.
I was in the hospital for 10 days.
Yeah,
and it was great. Like we had a lot of fun, and I think that this is.
We had so much fun.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to have a surgery, you might as well make the best of it. And absolutely. My family was amazing. They came in. All my friends were amazing. The hospital said they had never seen so many flowers and so much fun. And we had fun with the residents. My sister set up craft service for them. So they always had snacks. So they liked to come in.
You're the fun room.
We were the fun room.
Was there a risk for your surgery? Because sometimes with brain surgery, this can be a risk of losing sight or your ability to speak or movement or anything.
Oh, yeah. The disclosure they give you before surgery, not before you go in, but like when I was talking to the doctor, you know, he said, okay, so you could be blind or you could be paralyzed or you could die. Those are my three choices. And I was like, okay, great. I trust you.
Yeah.
I said, I trust you. Let's do this, you know. So Cher came in the morning, like the morning of the surgery. And we did our magical stuff. She was a great friend. Yeah, we did our magic stuff. And she was with me before I went in, you know, and my sisters too. And yeah, so then, you know, after that, after being there for 10 days, then I had to go to rehab, which I called Brain School the Musical because it was so weird. Like my thing was like my mind was just wiped. Like I had... If you can imagine, like, your head has lots of thoughts in it all the time and colors and sensations. It was like a black, like, the TV went black. I can't explain it, except I kept saying to my sister, I can't see the light. I can't find the light. I couldn't tell you what this was, Kristen. I couldn't.
No name.
I couldn't. Yeah. I knew my family, but I couldn't tell you what a cup was. I remember in rehab, I couldn't know what a pencil was and an apple. And they give you, like, children's little charts, like, airplane, apple. And they would go, do you know what that is? No. Do you know what that is? No. Like, I didn't know simple things.
How long did it take for those simple things to come back? Was it like, you know, a light bulb goes on? Or is it like it's so gradual and you're like, oh, yeah, wait, I know that's a mug. Wait, I know that's a chair.
It kind of, for me, it started downloading quickly. But it was because my family did work with me, you know, at home, too. Like, I feel like, first of all, I had a healing miracle because my whole movement came back. I had a miracle at UCLA, and I know it.
That's wild.
I really did. And then, you know, it was because my mantra, when I was in Vegas, I read everything I could. I was trying to do one-sided yoga because I couldn't do it. You know, I was stretching. I was going on the internet. I was trying to find out everything. But I had a mantra, I walk, I run, I dance. Mm. And that's what carried me through. As dancers, we understand pain, and we talked about having a high threshold for pain. So the fact that my back was killing me just was like, my back is killing me. Okay, you know. You know what I mean?
Well, and you think as a dancer, especially if you've done it hardcore for a long time, you're like, oh, I'm starting to fall apart, or like my hips hurt, my back hurts. It just happens. Our joints start to wear out because we've overtaxed them for so many years. Right. And that's the danger, I think, sometimes in missing some of those signals.
Yes, yes. So the thought I offer to young dancers or anybody really is if something's going on, check it out. You know, don't be, I'm okay, like I was or a lot of us are,
of course.
Because we really are okay. We're just going through something at the time, you know. But I know that my dance saved me, you know. The desire to move was greater than my desire, obviously, to stay paralyzed on one side.
Absolutely.
You know, or without facility or anything like that. And so I feel that my training as a dancer is what got me going faster. Like the physical therapist couldn't believe
how fast you're up and going.
I was up and going, you know. I was like, okay, I was ready to go.
Do you feel like, did you lose anything? Like, is there anything that you're like, okay, maybe I'm not as strong as I was before this happened?
It took me, I think I was in brain school for like a month. Then I kind of got bored.
Right.
I mean, I got like, ugh, you know, they're not, I
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, you're like, I needed more
like,
challenge.
I'm good.
You're like,
good.
I got this check.
Yeah, I next. Got this. Yeah, like 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, I was like,
yeah. No, I'd be like, give me a dance class.
The cool thing was, is that I learned a lot there, and I was able to help a lot of people because of it. One of them was Stilo.
Oh, really?
Yes, because Stilo had the same surgeon Dr. Martin and I did. Stilo is a groovaloo.
Yeah.
And he had had a really hard time with his stuff. And so after my stuff, I was able to go to his house and help him and give him my stuff. Like, here are my things. These right. my
You've
flash
walked
cards.
The path.
Yeah, and stretching. And then they said, can you come to Brain School the Musical where I went? Because that's where he was going to for rehab. And so I said to his wife, Penny, I said, bring his favorite music. She goes, okay. So first thing I did is turn on music. I was like, okay, Stilo, can you do kickball change? Kickball, because that's ba, 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 ba. Right. He at that time was having a hard time walking, you know. But he could kickball change all the way down the line. And the physical therapists were like,
you're like,
what?
It's muscle memory.
And I was like, yeah.
He's done this his whole life.
His whole life. So he clicked in like that. So what I'm discovering is, you know, whatever's going on with us, our heart and what we know and our muscle memory can override all of it.
And it's also important to think that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Yes.
And I think that that's important to push for answers when you're not always getting them when it comes to medicine and things like that. If you're working with a physical therapist, say, you know what? I'm a dancer. This is what I know. What can we incorporate?
Yes, yes. Because I was doing pliés and going up steps and, you know, at UCLA because that's what I knew. Mm-hmm. That served me. You know, our attention to detail in a plié when you're doing it perfectly, it triggers something in your brain that's going to serve your healing. It you know what it is to really do that. Most people don't.
That's
if they're
right.
not a dancer or an athlete, they don't. You know, so we are really, I feel like dancers really have the ability to bounce back from catastrophic things more than other people. I know it.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I'm writing a book about it, actually.
You should, because it makes so much sense. And I know that, you know, you're now giving back with I Dance with a Cure, and this is for a cure.
Yes,
and
it's my sheet. Can you
I love, yeah, all the sparkles. IDanceForACure.org is where you can find out more information. But this is year two. I was there for year one, and I know Nakul was there.
Yes.
And I saw Tyne Stickline there.
And Miss Bonnie Story.
Oh, gosh.
Carmeet.
Yes, Carmeet Bashir from Pussycat Dolls. Yeah. So who are you having this year? Because I think Nakul's back, right?
Yes, Nakul is back. Survivor.
Also a survivor. Testicular cancer.
Yes, cancer survivor. Catherine McCormick is coming.
Oh, we love her. I've missed her.
So divine.
I missed her this summer.
I know. She's awesome. She's coming. I'm so excited. And Marlon Paleo, who just was the assistant on Mary Poppins with Rob Marshall, is going to be our third teacher. And Carmeet is going to be the host.
Great.
And we have a special guest, Miss Maggie Kadurka, who is a former Joffrey ballerina who is going through metastatic cancer at the moment. And so she'll be doing a performance and being there. And she's divine. She's such a beautiful dancer.
Bald ballerina. You guys might know
bald
that.
Bald ballerina.
Bald ballerina. Go and Google it. Read her story because it's incredible. And it's, you know, it's a tough story, but at the same time, she's so resilient. And I think that she'll inspire you.
She's very inspiring. So she will be there. We'll be at Edge on November 11th from 5 to 9. So everybody come, and I know you guys, you stayed the whole time last time, Kristen.
Kristen
was so awesome. You know, such support from you, my friend.
I know. I watched the classes, and I think Tate McRae was there last year.
Yeah, all the
Emma
kids.
Hellenkamp,
all those kids were there, yeah.
Tahani Anderson. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I get to see all of them. It was really nice to see them.
Yeah.
I'll try and stop by because I'm going to be up at Universal during the day working, and I'll shoot on by after. So,
but it's a beautiful event, and what it does is it raises money for pediatric cancer and brain tumor research in children, and the proceeds are UCLA Mattel and Children's Hospital. So it's a beautiful event, and you know, we're blessed to be able to do it, you know, through our movement, because dance is your spirit, you know, being shown who you really are and stuff. So
it's going to be a fun day too, and with incredible instructors and everything, performances. That's amazing.
And because we're here and Dance Network is one of our sponsors and we're on To the Point with you, if you want to come, You register at GDI Events. That's Global Dance Initiative. They are one of the co-producers. It's all dance and healing. It's amazing. Go to GDI Events. Mm-hmm. You register and just put Cure 17, C-U-R-E 17, and you'll get a $10 entrance thing. So come on down. And also, I just really want to be honest about this. So yes, do that so you get a cheaper ticket. But honestly, if people want to come and support the event and you have $1, we'll take it.
We'll take it. Or skip your Starbucks. Like one holiday Starbucks cup, yeah. You can skip that for $4 or $5.
Yeah, and come and just dance and have fun.
Yes.
I mean, really, that's what it's about.
And are people allowed to observe? I mean, no, I know I observed last year, but if people want to just kind of come down and watch.
Yes, please do.
Yes, because I know, you know, a lot of people get excited. They may not be dancers themselves, and they may not want to dance, but sometimes watching a Nicole class will, like, that changes your whole day.
It hurts your body just to watch it.
It does. So it's awesome. So amazing to watch. It's so, like, uplifting and everything else like that. We haven't talked about So You Think, which is kind of amazing. We've talked about, like, everything else. Yeah. And I was like, I saw that picture up there of Koine and Lex. And I was like, holy cow, how did we miss talking about So You Think?
Yeah.
You've been around since season one.
Since season one.
You're like,
I got to find the kids.
You're an OG.
I am a O-O-O-G.
O-O-O-G? Mm-hmm. What is O-O-O-G?
I don't know. But like,
original gangsta. All right. So... when you look at the evolution of the show from season one to season 14, do you think, holy cow, look where we've come?
Oh, yes. And I look at where all of the talent has gone. You know, like Nick and Travis.
Shaping Sound, currently on tour.
You know, the most beautiful creation. They are just turning it out. Like, I can't even handle how much I love them and how much
and
I love Travis.
And Travis winning his second Emmy this
year. Yeah, so beautiful and always such a humble, beautiful person.
He is. And, you know, I was there that night that they won in covering the Emmy, the Creative Arts Emmys, and I was like, they're like, it's a tie. And I'm like, it's Mandy and Travis. I just knew in my heart of hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just knew both of them that was their year when they said it was a tie.
It's so awesome.
It really was. But if you look back, what was that first year like? Did you feel like a little bit like renegades? Like, we're going to do this dance show, and it's not Dancing with the Stars. This is like for dancers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were still trying to figure out what exactly it was, you know. But Jeff, the other producer, Jeff Thacker, had seen a Cher tour that I did and saw the disco stuff. So that stuck out to him. Although I do every other kind of dance.
Yes.
You know, every single other.
But you're the disco queen.
I get to wear the sparkle crown, you know, I'll take it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love it. And it's so fun. And so the challenge actually over the years has been to how do I keep doing these lifts that they expect now on the show.
Oh, wait, this is Brandon, Brian, and Tiffany.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
That's a great one. I mean, just look at that.
Yeah, that was
Brandon
awesome.
Brandon has become quite, I mean, as the all-star, he became like labeled like the disco guy.
Well, you know what? Because he is.
He's strong.
He's fantastic. He could get any girl over his head.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Now, you know, when you get the contestants in there and you're going, we're going to do these lifts and these lifts. I mean, it's got to be a little intimidating, I've got to imagine. But, you know, if you give them the time, they can probably learn to do it, right?
Yeah, we have such a short amount of time, you know, and we do push them because that's what the show expects, you know. But also, we are very mindful that they can do it. Like, they have to be able to, you know, because we would never want to do anything.
Well, they call you guys out if it doesn't serve the contestants.
Yeah,
We've seen it happen live on TV.
Yeah,
and Nigel has no problem saying, nope. Didn't work on the choreography side.
Yeah.
How was it this year? Because obviously you had Lex with some shoulder issues. He also had a really tough samba that week. The same week he had disco with you, and he had a lot of lifts in that too.
Yeah. So I didn't, you know, we never know what the other choreographers are doing. You know, we only know what's in our room.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know sometimes who's doing what, but we don't know what the piece is going to look like until you get to camera blocking day and you see it, you know, and then you're like, ooh, you know,
wow.
Yeah. But I mean, Lex, you know, they're also tired at that point. We were episode 6, I think. So
it was late in the game.
It was later in the game. So he had some existing stuff, but he keeps saying, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
And Marco, yes, I'm okay. And Marco would say, he can do it, he can do it, he's fine. And I'm like, okay. So fine. So, you know, we did change some things for them, you know, because some things that really weren't right for those two. You know, they're spectacular dancers. So we did change stuff. So, you know, what we ended up with was the stuff that they could do, you know, mm-hmm. and the best that they could do on that day. I didn't know he had an ankle thing. I saw the ankle thing later.
Oh, that was crazy. I was like, what? I think it was compensation, too. You know, when your body is breaking down one other place, you start compensating in another. And I was in the studio that day, too. And, I mean, I saw him, like, go off. And
after his solo.
After his solo.
But his ankle was wrapped. I'd never seen it wrapped before. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I mean, the blessing is they're fantastic. They're young. They're strong. And they are champions. He's the champion. But, I mean, they're all champions. You know, their work ethic, amazing, amazing. They just plowed through all of it.
That was a spectacular top 10, I have to say.
It was.
It was.
It was.
I don't feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like there's, like, good weeks and bad weeks. Like, overall, if I look at that season, I'm like, I'm going to remember season 14.
Yeah.
It's like why you remember season 4, why you remember, yeah. I remember season 10 a lot.
Yeah.
There's just certain casts that yeah. really stand out to you. Yeah. And I feel like 14 yeah. as an overall group, you look at it and you're like, there was real no, you know, they there's were, no weak link.
No, they were very centered and very about their business, you know, very to the point of their business, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they yeah. really were. So.
And they will be here in LA next week, next Wednesday yay. At the Dolby Theater. And I will tell you, there's not a lot of tickets left. And I thought, oftentimes at the Dolby, if people have never been to the Dolby, where the Oscars are, by mm-hmm. the way, the third mezzanine rarely sells there. It's just too big a venue and they usually just block yeah. it off. They are selling the third venue for great. This show. So yeah. it's always good news yeah. for dance when yeah. a big venue like that yes. can sell tickets.
Yeah.
I always like that. Yeah. So for you, I always like to know, like, what is your next dream? Because, you know, you're doing so much. You've done so much in TV and film and stage, too. You've worked with all of these legends. I mean, we mentioned Cher, but you've worked with just about everybody.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah. I was like, I have to ask her. I don't know if we're going to have time, but I was like, at one point, I'm going to have to ask you about working with Barry Manilow because
oh yeah,
I'm a little bit of a fanalo.
Are you a fanalo? He's going to be at the Forum soon. Oh, yeah.
I got to go see him at some point. So, but yeah. I mean, when you've done so much already in your career, like how do you keep yourself motivated to going, okay, yeah, there's one more goal I've got to achieve or I've got these three things that I really want to do?
Well, I think what I really want to do now is I'm really inspired by dance and healing. The healing power of dance mm-hmm. is very important to me because I know that's what got me through. I know it is what gets Maggie through. I know it's what got Courtney Galliano through and yeah. Marco and Alex Wong. And, you know, like the list goes on and on. Nigel, you know, yes. with his stuff. Paula, with her stuff. So it's a fascinating thing to me. Dance and healing. I'm an ambassador for Global Dance Initiative, which is all different people that have had different kind of things happen to them and or people that are doing things for healing and dance and different things. So if you guys please check out Global Dance Initiative. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful program that Teresa has started and Amy Tinkham as well. What I really want to do, I have a project that I've been working on for a few years called Salsa Mambo Cha-Cha-Cha.
Ooh.
I've been to Cuba. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It's a Cuba, 20 Cuban dancers. You can't even believe what they do. And we've been working on getting them out of the country and bringing them here for a few years now. And it gets closer and closer. And then it goes...
Oh, are you thinking about like a Vegas show for them or?
It's actually will be a touring show.
A touring show.
A
fantastic.
Touring show, yeah. And so we've got the visas, you know, 50 visas.
That's
it's
a lot.
It's like the Latin River dance.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so it's amazing. The music is so spectacular. If you see and hear it, your hair just blows back. And I've been around amazing singers in my life, but hearing these singers sing, I was just like, oh.
This is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. So that's a passion project, you know, for me. And also, you know, just I have a couple things that now that were in my mind that I've written, shows that I've written for Vegas, that now technology is at a point where I could actually do it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? The technology has caught up with my dreams, if that makes sense.
Well, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
If you were like, how do we execute that? And
yes.
at the time, there may not have been the technology to create that.
Right. Look. There wasn't, but now there is. It's getting more and more. So I'm excited about that.
And Vegas is willing to take the risk and spend the money. That's
yeah.
the nice thing about
yeah,
Vegas
they
shows.
Are. Yes, they are. And I have my show running there at the Tropicana Imaginarium, David Goldrake, and he's amazing, beautiful magician, and his wife is amazing, and the cast is brilliant, too. So that's happening. So that's fun. So everything's great, and I do want to write, and I do want to continue to teach master classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important, like teaching that next generation and keeping that going. Now, when you teach, are you teaching? Because you're well-versed in all styles, mm-hmm. do people bring you in for the disco or do people bring you in for a little bit of everything?
They a lot of times bring me in for partnering in disco or other things as well. You know, I've created pieces, you know, just like contemporary pieces. Mm-hmm. Because my training was very, very beautiful. I had such great training. You know, I was trained Joffrey teachers too. And so, you know, I really, my dream at the time was to be an Elvin Ailey dancer. Oh. Like I felt that that's where my heart was. That's where the movement was for me at that time, you know. And so, but it, you know, again, your one lifetime, you'll be so many things. I started as a dancer, then I became a choreographer, then I became a director, then I became a producer, then I had a video company, and then I'm writing and still producing and directing and choreographing. So I feel like our evolution just never ends, you know?
It's true, and we're seeing so many opportunities open to the dance world, because it used to just be like, you're a dancer, maybe you retire, maybe you open a studio, maybe you teach. Like it was a smaller world. And I think now it's just, what's wonderful is that the opportunities are kind of limitless.
They are. And what's really great, and because, you know, I feel like my tumor was a blessing in disguise. You know, I've been able, one of the stories, Jackie Dowsett, one of my dancers in the Cher show in Vegas that was at Caesars, her mother had a brain tumor. They lived in Hawaii. Her skull was getting so big. She had the same kind of tumor I did. I was able to bring her mother to UCLA, and my surgeon operated on her mom. Oh, saved her mom's life. So, like, how about
connections,
that? Connections. And the way the universe works. I've been able to do that with 9 people in just, you know. And the best part, I sit on a board there now in neurosurgery, and we're patient and family advisory council, and I made a meditation program for the patients at UCLA. Anybody can do it, really, but it's like a body scan relaxation mm-hmm. meditation, and I feel that meditation and prayer really do help your healing, you know? So if anybody's going through stuff, whatever it is, you know, stop, drop, and be at peace for a moment, you know?
Especially because we're tied to these all the time, too.
Yeah.
It's true. We sometimes need to just...
Yeah, the power of meditation is intense, especially if you're going through something, you know. It will help bring you back to center. The power of prayer is everything, right?
Yes, and the power of dance.
And the power of dance, it's your spirit moving through you, showing who you are. Oh, and I love it so much.
Well, we are so glad that you shared your story today. Thanks. We are so excited to have you here. I hope we see a lot of you at the I Dance for a Cure event this Saturday.
Yes.
At Edge Studio here in Los Angeles, and you can go to idanceforacure.org for more information.
Yes, and gdievents.com.
And that's where you can buy tickets, and Cure 17
gets you $10.
Get your $10.
And then if you don't have $10, if you have $1, just come and have fun.
Of course, we would love that.
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you on social media? Where should they connect with you?
On Twitter, I'm at I Am Doriana, and on Instagram, which I just started, you guys, I Am Doriana Dance. So,
Lots of photos from this Saturday.
Yeah,
we hope to see that.
Yes.
All right, you guys. Thank you for joining us for another episode of To The Point with Kristen Burt, presented by Popcorn Talk and Dance Network. Be sure to check out our latest articles on all the hottest dance news at dancenetwork.tv. Next week, joining me from Dancing with the Stars will be pro Gleb Savchenko. See you all next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.